Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Well, we've been talking about relentless faith. Amen. Has it been helping anybody? Glory to God. And I'm telling you, the day we live in, we need relentless faith. Relentless faith. Relentless faith is a faith that it doesn't quit, doesn't give up. It's not moved by circumstances. It's not moved by emotions. It's not moved by feelings. You know, so often we say, you know, don't go by your feelings. Well, we're not saying you don't have feelings. God created you with feelings. He created you with emotions. But he never meant for you. But then after he created you with these feelings, with these emotions, then he did this amazing thing. He breathed his life into you. So it wasn't your feelings and your emotions that he created you with that gave you life. It was his breath breathing into you that gave you life. So we want to live by faith and not by our feelings and emotions. So we're never saying that feelings and emotions does not exist. We're saying we understand they exist, but don't allow your feelings and emotions, how you feel, what you think, right, control you. You've got to say, wait a minute, I'm coming across this thought pattern in myself that it's contrary to things I've read in the Word of God. So at that moment, you're at a road of decision. You're like, all right, you're at the Y in the road, right? The proverbial Y in the road. Am I going to go with what I've always thought or believed to be true? I don't care who told you that. It could have been your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa. It could have been your pastor. It could have been your some apostle or traveling preacher or whoever. But if what they told you, if I ever told you anything that did not line up with this word, I'm telling you right now, you throw that out. I endeavor to never tell you something that does not line up to the word. But if you ever did hear me say something and you're like, wait a minute, that's not what the word says, come talk to me. or say, nah, that's not what the word says. You know, that's why we tell you that God is a healer, because that's what the word says. That's why we tell you that God is a provider, because that's what the word says, right? It's why we say he is a savior, because that's what the word says. Amen. We endeavor to only tell you what the word says, because the only thing that matters is what the word says. The problem, though, is people are not getting in the word. Right? We've been saying this for 12 years, and I'll say it for another 112. Right? We've got to get in this book. We've got to find out what the word says, because the only thing that matters is what the book says. You know, here's the deal. If God, think about this, and I pray that you adopt this mindset right now. If God did not want you to have it, then he should have never put it in the book. Because if it's in the book, God says it's yours. The Bible says that we are not only heirs, but we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That means everybody say everything. Okay, I'm feeling a little preach right now, but listen, everything that Jesus has access to, you have access to. There is nothing, and I said it, nothing that Jesus can do or can have that you can't do or can't have. Because we are joint heirs with him. Amen. All right, let me calm down a little bit here. All right. So go with me, Hebrews chapter 10. This is where we ended up last week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read this out, this first verse out of the New King James. In verse 23, this is what we wrapped up with last week. We said this, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What are you hoping for today? What hope lies within your heart? What is a hope? A hope is a high intensive, this is scripturally speaking. Hope is a high intensive expectation. What are you expecting from God today? Well, I've never really thought about expecting anything from God, and that's why you don't have it. Because hope, Bible hope, see, there's two kinds of hope in the world. There's Bible hope, and then there's world hope. World hope says, are you going to be able to go to that rodeo with me today? I don't know why I said rodeo. I'm not even a rodeo guy, but let's throw it out there. Maybe there's a rodeo person here. I don't know. But are you going to be able to go to that concert with me? Are you going to be able to go to that ball game? Maybe we OSU fans, maybe OU fans, whatever. Are you going to be able to go to the ball game today with me? And well, I sure hope so. What are you saying? Man, I want to. Oh, man, do I want to. Oh, man, if you ask me, hey, Ken, you going to that Alabama football game with me today? I'm like, I probably wouldn't tell you I hope so. I'd say, absolutely. But anyways, but for point's sake, I sure hope so. What am I saying? Man, I want to go. I want to go. Man, I wanted to go to that game so bad. I want to go. But when I say I hope so, what I'm really saying, I'm using world hope, right? I'm saying I want to go, but there's an element of doubt. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be able to go. That's what we mean, isn't it? When we say I hope so, it's like, man, I'm hoping it works out, but I'm not sure. That's not Bible hope. So we've got to get that out of our thinking. When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about a high, intensive expectation. It's like when I was a kid, and I heard my mom and dad talking about, they asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I said, I want a bicycle. And because I knew my mom and dad. They don't ask me for what I want and then don't get it. So I knew that they were faithful to what they were asking me. Right? What did I do? I had a high intensity. They asked me what I wanted. I told them what I wanted. My mama's sitting right there. I told them what I wanted. Right? And I knew I'm going to get a bicycle because they asked me what I wanted. And I told them what I wanted. And I knew I was going to get that bicycle. So what did I do? I developed a high intensive expectation. What does that mean? That means the next day at school, I went to school early December, and I told my friends, guess what I'm getting for Christmas? What? How can you know? You haven't even unwrapped it yet. No, my mom and dad, they asked me what I wanted, and I told them what I wanted, and I know my mom and dad, I know they're going to buy me a bicycle. Guess what happened on December 25th? I jumped out of bed and I went and I'm like, where is it at? I'm looking for my expectation. Yeah, come on. That is Bible hope. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Bible hope is a high intensive expectation. And he says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. What are you confessing? We're talking about relentless faith. Gone are the days. That's a different church. I can't control what happens at other churches. That's not my deal. But gone are the days of this low expectation. Gone are the days of not really expecting anything from God. No, he is a God that wants to give. He wants to help. He wants to bless. We're going to see that in just a little bit. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. What is your high intensive expectation of God? All right, let me help you out, because maybe you don't have a high intensive expectation of God, but let me help you out. Let me give you one. What do you need God to do in your life? What do you need God to do? How do you need him to move in your life? Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's, man, I'm struggling with my marriage. Maybe it's I'm struggling with my kids. Maybe it's I'm struggling getting a job, or I don't see how people can struggle getting a job. There's plenty of them out there. There's a lot of people just don't want to get one. But maybe it's whatever your struggle is, do you need God to move in your life? Then ask him. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to move you forward in life. Amen. But he says, let us hold fast. Hold fast. That means hanging on like the tenacity of a bulldog, man. I mean, we're developing relentless faith. We're going to find it in the book, because if God put it in there, then you have access to it. So we're going to find it in the book. God, I need healing. We're going to find those healing scriptures in the book. And I'm going to say, God, you said, by his stripes, I am healed. It's right there, Lord. I believe I received that, and I'm not going to let go until it manifests. I'm not going to make up excuses for why it hadn't shown up. I'm not going to moan and groan and whine because it hadn't shown up. Come on, I'm not going to complain because it hadn't shown up. Because all your complaints do is hinders the flow. Come on. All complaining does is hinders the flow. You're going to see that as we're talking about this. But he says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Complaining is wavering. Well, I believe God, but you're about to waver. I see you falling off your surfboard right now. You've been cruising on the waves of the word, and then all of a sudden you said, but whoa, we got to get you back up on the board, right? We got to get you back up on the board. We got to keep you on the wave, right? You're going to ride this baby all the way to the beach, right? What am I saying? You're going to ride this thing all the way to your manifestation. You're going to get what God promised. Come on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. The Bible tells us in the book of James chapter 1, a person that is a double-minded person need not think that they're going to get anything from God. See? Now, you just stay with me, because to develop relentless faith takes a little bit of strong language. Right? So we got to get rid of all the complaining. Get rid of all the negative speaking. Well, get all that stinking, what one guy called stinking thinking, out of your system. Get rid of the stinking thinking. If it doesn't line up with this, it stinks. In fact, if it doesn't line up this, God calls it evil. When your language does not line up to the word of God, God calls it evil speech. Come on, right? All right. But he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. So what is he talking about? He's talking about what a lot of people call these days the power twins. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. What is faith and patience? Well, we know we've been talking about what faith is. Faith is, I believe God. As Paul said when he was on that boat out there, hadn't seen sunlight in 14 days in the midst of this storm, I believe God that it will be as he told me. I've heard from an angel of the Lord. He has spoken to me, and I believe God. Well, that's faith. Faith, for a better word for faith is even confidence. Right? First John says, this is the confidence. Those words are interchangeable. This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, or his word, because his word is his will, if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, then I know that I will receive. I will receive. See, that's faith. That's confidence. There's another word for confidence. I will. I've asked according to his word. Well, you can't ask according to something you don't know what it is. So we got to get in the word. We got to have a revival of the Bible. We got to say, "Huh, no. I don't care how busy my life is. If you say, if you dare sit there and think, well, PK, you just don't understand. I am too busy to read the Bible. I'm in 100% agreement with you. You are absolutely right. You are too busy. That means you got some stuff on your plate that needs to be pushed off. And you've got to see. You don't say, here's my life. Let me see if I can fit the word into it. You say, no, here's the word. Let's see how much life I can have around it. So you build your life around the word, not the word around your life. Right? Because the word is the foundation for every believer. And there's some really cracked up, messed up, broken foundations going on all up in this world. There's a lot of believers that speak more doubt than they do belief. You got to get that out. It's got to go. If you're going to be victorious, if you're going to walk in and have the life that God wants you to have, and God wants you to have a good life, how do we know that? Because Jesus said, You know, remember who that guy is? He's kind of famous. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, the guy who died on the cross, same guy, right? Rose from the dead, same guy, right? So Jesus said this in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you would have life and enjoy it. And he said this, I have come that you would have a life and life more abundantly. That word abundantly means this. Superior, listen to this, because God ain't interested in stocking you with the junkyard. Right? That life more abundantly, when Jesus said, I came that you would have life and life more abundantly, that word abundantly means superior in quality. That sounds like he wants you to have the best. Well, the Old Testament says that those that are willing and obedient will eat the very best that the land has to offer. Right? So Jesus says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. He could have said, I just came to give you life. But he didn't. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Abundantly. Superior in quality. And super abundant in quantity. That's what it means. I didn't put that there. I didn't make up the definition. It's there. You go study it out for yourself. Superior in quality, super abundant in quantity. So not only does he want you to have the best, but he wants you to have a lot of the best. See, that's what happens when you read the book. You find things out that are just like, whoa, that is amazing. See? Glory to God. So we get the faith part, but what about the patience part? Faith and patience. They're the power twins. In other words, they work. Remember that old show, The Power Twins? Activate. Right? They was two individual, but when they activated, they became way more. Right? Well, that's what happens when you put faith and patience together. What does that mean? What is patience? Patience is not, you guys, most in here know what I'm going to say. Faith is not just waiting. Excuse me. Patience is not just waiting. I am being patient. No, you're not. You're being grumpy. And you're being faithless. If you're trusting God, why would you ever be grumpy? If you're trusting God, why would you ever be irritable with it? Because irritability, being irritable about something, I'm trusting, but I'm just irritated because it hadn't shown up. Then you say you're trusting, but you're not trusting that God's actually going to bring it through. No, patience, study it out. Patience is not just waiting. Patience is your attitude while you wait. Patience is your attitude. So not only are we to trust God, but to trust him with the right attitude. There's a saying around our house. My son knows it well. He's heard it many, many times. And it's simply this. Do what's right. Do it because it's right. And then do it right. In other words, do what's right. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Not do it because you're going to get paid for it. See, that's the way a lot of people are today. Well, how much are you going to pay me to do that? Dude, just do it. Do the right thing, right? So do what's right. Do it because it's the right thing to do, and then do it with the right attitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. How far are you going to go? Well, your attitude determines that, right? So we're going to live with a godly attitude. We're going to live with the fact that, wait, God's word said it. I believe it. I'm putting that into action, and this is a matter of time before God manifests it. It's not if God does it. It's when God does it. He is going to do it. And when you set your heart on that and you don't allow yourself to waver, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, right? For he who promised is faithful. Right? So faith and patience. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6, just back a couple of pages here. Glory to God. Faith and patience. So let us hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. All right. Hebrews chapter 6. I got to hurry. Okay. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. Well, being irritable with them isn't loving. Right? Okay, thank you for that one. Uh-huh. Okay. Glory to God. Now I know I'm talking to the right crowd. Okay. Hallelujah. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain. So does love matter? See, faith works by love, right? Well, I could go off on that. All right. Maybe I will next week. We'll see. But he says this, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. So you got to keep on being loving. You got to keep on being kind. See, faith is kind, right? Faith believes. Kind of sounds like 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Oh, wait a minute. Love is what? Patient? That means you're not complaining. You're not moaning. You're not groaning. You're not giving all these dumb reasons why you think it's not going to come to pass. Because when you start doing that, you start veering away from what God's word says. But when we trust God, then we can stay in love. When we trust God, we're staying in faith, right? Anyway, so he says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going. You will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their patience. They're going to inherit, and that's how we inherit, right? That's how we inherit the promises of God that we're believing God for, is because we're in faith and we're patient. We're in faith and we have a great attitude. We maintain that great attitude. See, what happens is people, they start off believing God, and then they start getting away. It's just like, man, I've already read that verse 3 times this week already, so I don't need to read it again. And then they start getting away from it. Then they start allowing feelings and emotions and their circumstances that dictate their thinking and all that. Then they start complaining and making every kind of stupid reason why that God's not going to do it. Why do I say it's a stupid reason? Because if you're doubting God, that's stupid. Why does I have to fight with God about that? That is stupid. Why are you fighting with God? If God asked you to do something, he's not going to change his mind. If he told you to do it, he's not going to relent. He's not going to say, oh, wait a minute, sorry, I didn't realize it was a bad attitude day for you. Never mind. He's not going to do that. People talking about, oh, I just really had to argue with God over that. You're just exposing your dumbness, because it's like, wait a minute. You're gonna argue with God? Why are you arguing with God? He is the only one that can help you in this situation. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll go. I'll keep going. All right. Hallelujah. All right, so where am I at? Where have I got you? Okay, verse 12. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Now, let's keep on reading. Verse 13. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name. Took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you. When's God going to bless me? When are you going to get in faith? Because he said right there, he was certainly going to bless you. just the fact that he put it in the book right there tells you that he wants to do it. But he ain't going to bless your sour, messy attitude. Not going to happen. Right? It's like oil and water. They don't mix. Right? For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond the number. Did you realize that God told him that 25 years before it ever came to be? Can you imagine the times Abraham must have went, oh, dude, okay, Lord, I'm getting a little older here. You know, my wife, she's not getting any younger, you know, all this kind of stuff. But God told him. But there was a day that Abraham came to where he decided to quit wondering and just to trust God. And I'm asking you to come to that day today. Let's quit questioning God. Let's just say, God, I believe your word. See, that's what relentless faith is. If the Bible says that our faith in him is the faith that overcomes the world, then it's going to overcome everything in your world. But we've got to make that relentless decision, don't we? Say, you know what? I ain't looking at not a single circumstance. Because here's the fact of the matter. No matter how you look at the circumstance, you can't change it. I always say this to people. My son knows this one well. He says, don't worry about what you can do something about, because you can do something about it. Don't worry about what you can't do anything about, because you can't do anything about it. So don't worry, be happy. See, God, have you ever noticed that scripture in 1 Corinthians? He said, God loves a cheerful giver. You could even drop the giver part off at the end and it still be accurate. God loves cheerful people. Because cheerful people are people that trust God. See, we don't have to be stressed. We don't have to be pressured into making poor decisions. We don't have to be pressured into what I just got to see. That's what Abraham and Sarah did. They began to try to. God said we was going to have a child. When is this going to happen? So Sarah comes up with this great idea. Says, "Hey, I got this handmaiden Hagar. Why don't you go in with her? She lives in our house. So if you have a child with her, it's kind of like us having a child because she's in our house." So Abraham didn't argue. He goes in. It produces an Ishmael. That was the little boy's name. And we're still dealing with struggles. Everything that Miss Cindy was talking about, Israel being attacked, that's from Ishmael. Study out the history of it. Everything that's going on, every attack that goes against Israel today is because of Ishmael. Right? So Abraham and Sarah, the people that had a promise, produced something of the flesh. What happened? They tried to find a way that they could do it in their own strength and their own abilities. And when we start trying to do that and begin to rely completely upon ourselves, we're not really trusting God, that's when we begin to get in trouble. And we produce Ishmaels in our own life that if you're not careful will cause you problems years down the road. So we don't want that. That's not relentless faith. That's relentlessly trusting in your own flesh. But God says, no, I have a better way to do this. All right, now let's keep reading. All right, I got to wrap this up. Man, I didn't think I had that much material today. Okay. Let's read this, and then I'll show you one more thing, and we'll be done. All right. So he says here, for example, there was a promise God made to Abraham, and since there was no one greater to swear by, he took an oath in his own self, I will certainly bless you, multiply your descendants beyond number. Verse 15, then Abraham waited patiently. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. That's why he swore by his own self. So you would be sure that whatever he promised, he's not going to change his mind. That promise is there for you to take. But you've got to believe him for it with relentless faith. That relentless faith may only take a day. It may take a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. I hear people talk about things that they believed God for 20 years before the manifestation actually came. Now, thank God, it don't usually take that long. I'm glad for that. There's times that I believe God for things, and some of them happen almost instantly. There's times I've had to believe God for things, and they took them a little bit longer. There are things that I'm still believing God to see to happen. And I've been believing for years, you know. But that's not everything. I like what Dad Hagin, my spiritual father, said this. He says, if you will make the decision in your mind that you're going to believe God for as long as it takes, usually it don't take that long. I kind of wonder if maybe some of those things that take a little bit longer is maybe because we start off in faith. I know it's been true for me. Maybe I'm the only one in the room. That's fine. But I know it's been true for me. There's been things that I started off believing God for. Then I kind of fell off of it, kind of backed off on it, didn't really keep the pressure on the enemy or anything like that. And then I just kind of, I'd get frustrated, get irritated with God, right? God, why is this? What's happening? He goes, you're not staying on it. It's like you're pushing it, then you back off, then you're pushing it. I mean, if you're trying to push something across the room and you push it and then you back off, and you push it, and you back off. How many know it's going to take you longer to get to the other side of the room than if you'd have just kept on pushing? So we got to keep the pressure on the enemy, right? How do we do that? Father, I thank you. Your word said it. I believe it. My heart is cheerful. I have gladness of heart because you said it. I know it's going to happen, so I'm not going to worry about the rest of it. I'm just going to expect it that for you to do what you said you would do. Because he didn't say you were faithful who asked for the promise. He said, he is faithful who promised it. He said, I said it. Will I not do it? Amen. Glory to God. All right, let me read this real quick. So he bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his word, or his oath, his word. These two things are unchangeable. God's promise and his word are unchangeable. If he said it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. And it's unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. There it is again. As we hold on to what we're believing God for. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. You're going to come through, God. I praise you. I thank you for your faithfulness. You're faithful to your word. Hallelujah. Right? All right, then verse 19 says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, what is your soul? It's your mind, your will, your thinking, your intellect, your emotions, your feelings. See, and what you're believing God for, keep yourself reminded of the promise. Go back and read it often because it will become an anchor for your soul, an anchor for the way you think. It'll remind you, wait, no, I'm not letting that doubt come in because God promised. And he said he's faithful to his word. Amen. Let me read this in the message, and then we'll close. Hebrews chapter 6. Don't worry about that noise. They're working next door. They should be in church, but they're working. That's okay. Maybe we should go out there and invite them to come in. Okay. Let me read this. This is so good in the message, and then I'm not even going to Luke 18 today. All right. Hebrews. I've got chapter 6. It's supposed to be Hebrews. Okay. Anyways. Hey. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15 in the message, it says this. I love this. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it all the way, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Don't you like that? I'm just going to bless and bless and bless. Do you see God like that? He says, man, God just loves me so much, he just wants to bless me and bless me and bless me. Get up every day. I'm blessed. I'm going to walk in the blessings today. Instead of getting up, oh, God, I got to go to work today. Right? Bless and bless and bless. Watch this. Abraham stuck it out. Everybody say, stuck it out. And got everything that had been promised him. See, what we need to learn how to do is stick it out. We need to learn how to go to the Word. Okay, God, this is what I need in my life. Find a promise where he says he would do it. Where a lot of people, they don't even do that. They just want a preacher to pray and everything just to magically appear. But it don't work that way. Right? So we go to the Word. We find a promise where God promises that he would give it. Then once we find that promise, then we declare that promise and we stick it out. We hold on to it. We continue to speak it forth. We continue to declare, I thank you. Oh, glory to God. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. I'm healthy. I'm whole and well. I don't have to wait for my body to feel better before I start declaring that. I don't have to wait for the money to show up in my bank account before I believe that I'm blessed. Before I believe that I'm prosperous. Before I believe, I pray this often. Father, I thank you. This is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Father God, that every bill is paid. Every payment is made. Every need is met in the name of Jesus. I'm not waiting. I don't wait for it to be paid before I say that. I'm able to pay it because I say that. Right? But I'm saying it out of my, it's something that I believe. It's not like, oh, the preacher said to say that. Well, no, it's not going to happen for you. Let's be honest. Yeah. It's not going to happen for you. It is not. It is not going to happen because you repeat what I say. Exactly. It's not a formula. It's not a magic potion. Yeah. It's about meditating on these scriptures until they become reality to you. They become so real to you that now you're not just like, okay, what did PK say to say? PK ain't got nothing to do with it. What it is you're meditating. It becomes so real to you that it's part of your natural way of thinking. When the enemy attacks you, no, I am healed in Jesus' name. You know, some people, it's like, oh, the enemy's attacking my body. What was that scripture again? I don't know. Go back and get the tape. What did he say? I don't remember what he said. Call PK. No, listen. No. Get it, meditate upon it till it becomes so real to you. So real, you believe it. I mean, it's a belief. Not a, I think so, it's reality. When you begin to confess out of that, now you're going to get some things done. Amen? I love what he said. Can you put that back up for me one more time? Because I already closed my tablet. I open up my tablet. There it is. Okay. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. There's that heirs in the court and joint heirs with Christ right there. I love that. I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that he had promised him. When people make promises, oh wait, that goes to the next part. But he stuck it out. Are you ready to stick it out? Are you believing God for some things? Come on, let's stick it out. What does that mean? That don't mean, dadgummit, when is this going to happen? Man, I ain't got time to mess around with this. No, drop all the attitude. Drop all the irritation. You cannot be in faith and be irritated at the same time. Did you hear that? You cannot be in faith and be irritated at the same time. Say, I'm not irritated with them. Don't be irritated with them. Forget what they're doing. Pray for them to come into the church, man. Invite them in, whatever. No. Listen, let's learn to trust God. Let's make that determination. In our hearts right now. Let's make that determination. Let this day be your day. This is the day that I made a switch in my attitude. This is the day that I made a switch. I have chosen today. I believe God. I trust His word. I'm not going to be irritated about things. I'm just going to say, God, you got this. I'm trusting you. And you continue to stay in the word. You continue to trust God and believe God and watch what God will do. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this today?